listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio.
Reduce, reuse, recycle today. Eco will show you the way.
Cars protect our environment. Eco's telling you that we really be good times. The air, water, land, and plants will thank you for what you do. Everybody should do it if they only do. Reduce, reuse, recycle today.
Eco, welcome to the Good Green Witch. This show is mostly about reducing today. It's following the footsteps of last week's Sustainable Kitchens. Welcome, everyone, for tuning in to The Good Green Witch. With me, as always, my co-host, Johnny Dam.
Yeah.
I'm Rhonda, your Good Green Witch. And today, we're going to continue that sustainable thing with living life with less plastic. Our guest today is calling in from Oakland, and she has a blog called Fake Plastic Fish. You can visit it right now because you're at your computer. FakePlasticFish.com. Live life with less plastic. As Beth Terry, our guest, says, our oceans are filling up with plastic, and she's doing something personally about that. Welcome to the show, Beth. Hi.
Hi.
She says Oakland's better than LA. Ooh, turf war.
I can explain why.
Ow. Okay. Oh, explain why. Okay, go for that.
Well, the neighborhood that I live in is really great for going plastic free and pretty much reducing our consumption in general, because it's walkable, it's bikeable, we have great public transit, we have all these stores that sell food in bulk bins so you can bring your own containers. And we've had to train a few people at the stores about that, but for the most part, they're pretty cool with it.
Cool. Okay, you win. You get points for that.
trying to train retail employees, though, how difficult is that?
Yeah, you've probably come across this, Beth, but I'll just throw this out there, where you have been in a store and they start to put your stuff in a bag and you say, oh, no bag, I have it. And instead of putting it back, they crumple it up and throw it away?
That has happened, but mostly not here. I mean, it's happened in other places where I've traveled. Mm. And then I explain to them why. You know, one thing that's happened before, though, is that I'll take a mug to a cafe, not around here so much, but like at the airport this happened, and they didn't know how to fill it up, so they put my coffee in one of their cups and then poured it into my mug.
Yeah.
And I just went, that's kind of...
You're defeating the purpose.
That's matarded.
Okay, so Beth, I met
that's
you...
That's a strong word.
I said matarded, not retarded.
Oh.
Matarded.
I haven't heard that one before. I have to use it.
It's moronically, yeah, stupid. We met on Twitter. I noticed you and I had some similar ways of thinking. So we friended up, and I discovered that you've been on this journey to reduce the plastic in your life. You want to fill us in on the background of that a little bit before we delve in?
Sure. Well, it was a little over 2.5 years ago, and I was on the web, I sort of started getting interested in environmental issues a little bit, trying to figure out how we could reduce in our home. We already didn't have a car. And I was reading an article about the plastic in the ocean, and I had never heard about this before. It was astounding to me. And I saw a photo of a dead albatross chick, and the carcass was completely full of plastic pieces,
yes.
You know, like plastic bottle caps and toothbrushes and everything. And it just took my breath away. And I went, oh, my God, I have to change my life.
Yeah,
and
that
was it.
That's a very powerful image. We've seen it. Actually, I posted it on Facebook.
Yeah.
So you saw that, and you decided to reduce plastic in your own life.
Yeah. Well, I actually just was curious to see how much I could actually give up at that time. And I already was blogging. I had trained for and completed a marathon. I hesitate to say run, but I had finished it. And I had blogged it, you know, my progress. And so I thought, well, this would be another thing to keep track of on a blog. And that was the reason that I started the blog in the first place, was just really to hold myself accountable.
Hmm. Cool.
And so I... And so I started collecting all the plastic waste that I generated every week just to see what kinds of things I was using. And then slowly I would replace each thing with something that was plastic free, if I could. There were things that I ended up not being able to replace. And those ended up being some of the biggest challenges and some of the biggest life-changing challenges, actually.
Yeah, there are. That's what's blown me away a little bit when I look around at the plastic in our own lives. I mean, we've reduced a lot, but there are just some things that, how do you get around it? Like bread. Bread is wrapped in a plastic bag.
It doesn't necessarily have to be. If you have access to bakeries or even stores that sell bread in paper bags.
Mm-hmm.
There are a couple places in my neighborhood where the bread is just out on the shelf, not wrapped in anything. And I will bring a cloth produce/bulk bag and have them put the bread directly in that. And then the way I store it, it stores perfectly in a metal tin, or you can get a metal bread box. But what I use is just this tin that had popcorn in it that was sent to me as a gift. It's great. It's a big one.
Mm-hmm.
And so I keep the bread in the cloth bag, and I put it in that tin, and I don't put it in the refrigerator. And it stays soft and fresh for a couple of weeks, actually.
Almost sounds like you're keeping it hostage.
Now, I remember having a bread box when we were growing up. It was, you know, everyone had one in their kitchen.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure we had one, too.
We actually have an old, I don't know what you want to call it, a utility cabinet for a kitchen that actually has a bread box section that has the holes punched in it, and you would pull it out, and there's two sections in it, one for, I guess, your white breads and one for the wheats because, you know, you can't let them touch.
Well, and speaking of letting things touch, it amazes me how people go to the grocery store and they put all their produce and each thing in a separate bag. Because I don't know, I think they're afraid if their apples and oranges touch, then they'll like start fighting or something.
yeah, they're not beta fish. You can put them in the same package.
Yeah. And, you know, I don't use produce bags at all. I just put everything loose in the cart. And then put it loose on the conveyor belt. I don't know if they all appreciate that, but that's what I do. And then I just put it all loose into my canvas bag that I carry with me, or my Chico bag, which is my favorite thing, actually.
Yeah, it's. I don't know if they don't appreciate that either, but when they look at it, you're actually saving them money by not using their plastic bags. So, you know, why should they mind?
Yeah, why should they? Well, you know, it's just, because it's outside the norm in a lot of places, they do sometimes look at you like you're crazy. But you know what? Since I turned 40, I have not really cared if people give me funny looks. I'm just so beyond that. Like, yeah, you can think I'm crazy, but really, you know, destroying the planet is pretty crazy. So think what you want.
Yeah, since I turned 40, I've had that experience too. It's like, you know what? I don't care what you think of me. I'm trying to help you here. Do you have kids? Because I don't, but your kids have to, you know, inherit this planet, and you should be thinking about this too.
Exactly. And I do try to be nice about it and explain if, you know, if it seems like a situation where the person is not being hostile, then, you know, I'll explain why, just briefly. And I feel like even if it doesn't change the policy in the store, at least it's helping to get the idea into the consciousness of that clerk, you know.
Yeah, I want to, I try to lead by example rather than, you know, if someone asks me, I'm more than happy to explain it, but mostly I just try to show by example what I'm doing and try to make people think a little bit.
Yeah. And I've been thanked, but it depends on what store it is. You know, like Whole Foods here, and I don't know if Whole Foods everywhere is the same way, but at our Whole Foods, they don't bat an eye when you bring your own containers and when you bring your own bags, and they thank you,
mm-hmm.
and they give a discount. You can either take the discount yourself or you can donate it to whatever their charity of the day is. And having belonged to an organization that benefited from that charity of the day, I really appreciate that.
Cool. So what plastics haven't you been able to avoid?
Yeah, there are definitely some things. You know, some things come in glass bottles, but then they have a plastic cap. So, for instance, we use a lot of vinegar for cleaning in our house,
mm-hmm.
and I have found vinegar in glass bottles, but they do have plastic caps. When I was drinking milk, which I haven't really been doing a lot lately, we get milk in glass bottles, and they're actually returnable glass bottles. You pay a deposit, and then you take them back to the store and get your deposit back. Mm-hmm. But those come with plastic caps. And I have actually contacted the dairy that provides that milk and begged them to switch to a different cap, but they feel like that's the most secure. So some of those kinds of things are a challenge. For the longest time, I was getting cat litter in a plastic bag because my cats wouldn't use anything else but this one brand. But we're slowly weaning them away from that and switching them to Sweet Scoop, which is a biodegradable wheat litter, and it does come in a paper bag. As far as I know, it's the only one that comes in a paper bag.
I believe I saw on the piece that you were on ABC up there that you were using the world's greatest cat litter.
We had been.
And so when you saw me
pull out my plastic that I had collected for 2009, about half of it was those bags because they're plastic and they're pretty heavy.
They are.
But this year our plastic is going to go down because we're not using those bags anymore.
Cool. I just noticed that because that's the kind we use, and I think it's a really great litter, but yeah, frustrating that it comes in a plastic bag. Maybe we can get that company to change.
I would love to. I've written to them twice.
Oh.
And they've said they respond kindly. I mean, they do, and they do respond. Some companies don't respond at all. But they say, thank you so much. We love to hear our customers' feedback about our packaging. You know, we're always looking into new packaging. So, you know, I don't know if they'll change it or not, but at least it's good for them to hear from various customers that we want it to change.
Yeah, definitely. And if we all start writing in like that, we might make an impact, because when they hear from more than one person about the same thing, it, you know, tends to make them think about it a little bit harder. So,
mm-hmm. You know, let's go back to the beginning. You made this decision. What was the first stuff you got rid of? What was the easiest to get rid of first? Because I think anybody listening to this going, well, how do I do this, doesn't want to hear about right just yet. I mean, by the end of the show we do, but they want to hear how they could get started doing this. So what was the very first thing you did? What was the easiest stuff to get rid of?
The easiest thing for me was plastic grocery bags. Even easier than the produce bags, just the outer bag. I started carrying canvas bags. And, you know, the thing with that, though, is that sometimes it's not convenient to have a big canvas bag because they take up a lot of room in your purse or backpack or whatever. Some people keep them in their cars, but like I said, we don't have a car. So I would actually carry plastic grocery bags that I had already accumulated, because how many of us don't have like a bag of bags under our sink or in a closet or something, you know?
We all do.
So I would just stuff those in my purse or my backpack, and I would always have a bag to use. And then when I graduated from those, I actually got Chico bags, which I love because there's a pocket for stuffing the bag attached to it, so you can't like lose the case that it goes in. And I carry like three of those in my purse all the time. And they are technically made out of plastic because they're made out of nylon, but I feel like they are replacing so many disposable plastic bags that it's kind of worth it to me.
Yes. Actually, you can find them at chicobag.com. That's worth it
right.
In the computer.
Okay,
and then,
go on.
And then the second thing that was really, really easy for me to give up was the bottled water. And that one, I feel, is maybe even more important than plastic bags because it affects so many other environmental issues. Like for just the idea of shipping water, extracting and shipping water from one part of the country to another, when it's something that we can get almost for free out of our taps, is a really big issue to me. And then there's the plastic bottle. And I realize that a lot of companies are trying to switch to what they call biodegradable bottles or bio bottles. But the issue of bottles of water is about so much more than just the bottle itself. And so I discovered at that time, I had never even heard of this before, but I discovered Clean Canteen, which is a reusable stainless steel bottle. And I just started carrying that to the gym. It was really just at the gym that I was constantly buying new bottles of water. And that was fine, you know? That was the next step.
Okay, so those are two things that are that everybody that's trying to make a change are pretty much conscious of. What was the what would be the next step that a lot of people wouldn't think of?
Well, I started carrying my own containers and bags to stores for bulk food. I decided that I wasn't going to buy any food that came in a plastic wrapper or plastic bag or anything like that. And I got surprised a bunch of times because I'd buy something in a box and it would have a plastic bag on the inside of it. So I really just stopped buying processed food to begin with, and I feel like that was great as a health measure in addition to saving the packaging. And like I said, we have Whole Foods here, and we have other stores that have all kinds of food in bulk bins. And I bring my own jars, and they weigh it at customer service so that I'm not paying extra for the weight of the container when I check out. And then when I do check out, then they deduct that weight.
Yeah,
so that was another thing.
That's amazing. My opinion of Oakland has gone way up in just 10 short minutes.
Well, of her neighborhood anyway.
Yes, her neighborhood.
Remember, we have been by the airport.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
And to be honest, my neighborhood is practically Berkeley.
Berkeley is someplace I'd like to try. So
you're overdressed.
I'm wearing jeans. And it's a lot of things that people don't think about too, like just plastic drinking straws.
Yeah. So I discovered a company called Glass Dharma, and they're glassdharma.com, and they sell reusable glass drinking straws, and I carry one of those with me everywhere I go. But there are, if you're worried about them breaking, which they're guaranteed not to break, but you know how kids can be rough with things.
Mm-hmm.
There are also stainless steel straws that you can find. And if you just put stainless steel straw into Amazon.com, you'll find a ton of them.
Oh, wow.
So that's another option. And I started carrying my own reusable utensils with me everywhere I go. I got a cute little to-go-wear set, but you know, that's not necessary. You can just carry utensils from your kitchen drawer.
True, but I do love those to-go-wear bamboo sets. They're so cool.
Yeah.
Bamboo is great because it's naturally antimicrobial, and I find it does not stain ever. So that's a good thing to
Right, it is.
Let's get back to stainless steel straws for a second. That's something I'd never heard of before. And I'm just thinking, you know, you don't want to stick one of those in a shake or your lips are going to get stuck to the straw. Are they really...
Can I interrupt you for a second?
Sure.
Back in the olden days, like before I was even born, I think, that's what, you know, those little soda fountain shops, that's what they use. They
really?
Use those stainless steel straws with a little spoon at the bottom for a shake, because then you could, if it was really thick, you could spoon it out or you could suck it through the straw. Yeah. And when I was growing up in school, we actually had paper straws, which were actually kind of gross because the longer you did, it would get kind of slimy in your mouth.
Yeah, they fall apart.
I remember those because they were like wrapped in a spiral.
Yeah.
Together, and they were they're like wax based. I'm slightly older than you. I remember when color wasn't even invented yet.
I remember lollipops had paper sticks.
Yeah.
You know, usually instead of anything else.
They don't still.
There are a lot of them that probably don't.
No, they're made from kittens.
Yeah. But no, that reminded me of the straws because, you know, they would eventually fall apart, but they were far superior to the plastic. It frustrates me that go somewhere and restaurants just automatically stick in a plastic straw. They should make it so that you have to ask for one.
Absolutely. And sometimes even I forget because I'll order water without ice. I don't like ice to begin with. And I never think, who's going to put a plastic straw in a plain glass of water? And yet sometimes it happens. So
everyone.
I should be really specific every single time. And I have to say it several times because servers are so used to sticking a straw in there that they just forget, you know. So I have to – and the beauty about having the Glass Dharma straw is that I can just pull it out and show them and say, I have my own. And then that helps them remember because it's so unusual.
Yeah, that is unusual, but it's funny, they'll go over to pick up your drinks, and they're talking, they've got their mind on their next order, so, yeah. But if we could just get everyone in the habit of not just automatically sticking the straws in. I prefer it when they bring the wrapped straws to your table so that you can at least reject them out of hand, but when it's already in your beverage...
I know, It's frustrating when it's already in your drink, because even if you say to them, no, I don't want this straw, and you explain why, well, they're just going to throw it away anyway.
This is true. What frustrates you, that's my big frustration, what frustrations have you run into as you've been trying to make this change?
Well, one of the things is plastic packaging in things that are delivered to me. And because of my blog, I get a lot of samples and books to review and things like that. And I actually have a policy on my website, a packaging policy, that if you're going to send me something to review, it can't have any plastic. And even still, sometimes things will come with plastic tape, or they'll send things in those padded envelopes, not realizing that what makes them padded is like bubble wrap inside. Uh-huh. So that happens. And then, let's see, what else is frustrating me? Not that much is frustrating me these days. I'm pretty happy.
Okay, so after you eliminate straws, your drinking bottles, the water bottles, your plastic bags from the grocery store, and your vegetable produce bags, what was the next step? What would be something that a lot of people would never think of that you had to do?
Well, you know, I actually had to give up a lot of things. I had to give up frozen convenience foods, and I fought that for a long time because I was a convenience food junkie. I rarely cooked, and I still rarely cook. I have a husband who loves to cook, so I'm lucky.
Oh, me too.
But
I'm the chef.
So I really, really, really searched for convenience foods, frozen, you know, like frozen meals that came without plastic. And what I found out was they don't exist. Even the frozen foods that come in a paper tray have a lining of plastic on the inside, because anything that has anything liquid in it has to be lined. And paper cups, like those you get for coffee or drinks, those have plastic on the inside, mm-hmm. even though it's hard to see. Anything that's holding anything wet at all that could leak. And so I just finally had to say, you know what, I have to step up when it comes to my diet in the first place. I have to eat a lot more fresh food and whole food and skip all this convenience stuff. And so that's what I did. That was one of the hardest adjustments, honestly.
Well, that's what's the other funny part about this is when you're trying to live a life like you are without plastic, you're going to be forced to eat a lot healthier. So it's like,
yeah.
Okay, I'm doing this stuff, but it's going to be better not only for the planet, but for me in the long run. It's funny,
right.
More people can't think of it like
well,
that.
Well, let me just say, as one who will occasionally eat pre-processed, preheated foods from establishments that are on almost every corner, I always ask mine, I always get to go, and I always tell them, no bag, no napkins, just give me the friggin' burger.
Right.
And they do.
You know, there's actually a really cool campaign online now called Takeout Without, and it's just takeoutwithout.com. And it's encouraging people to bring their own containers to restaurants and also to ask for none of the extra stuff that you don't need, no napkins, no utensils, no straw. Whatever it is that you actually don't need, just ask them not to include it, because that helps.
The ketchup packets.
We should call that Green to Go.
That sounds good too.
When you call them and you say, "Yeah, I like takeout, make it green," and they know automatically that that means none of the they don't need all the packets of crap that we're gonna. So they don't need the silverware, they don't need the napkins, they don't need they just need the product. So that's something I'm trying to put together, but I get sidetracked by video games. So
well, there's actually they're trying to gather a list of restaurants that have committed to doing this on the Takeout Without website. And they also have little cards that you can take to restaurants with you that you can give them for education to explain why. And, you know, I found that some of them will do it and some of them won't. And as far as the containers themselves, some places will put your food in containers and some of them say they can't because of health reasons, you know, the health department. But it's just interesting to me that some will cite that and some won't. And I've actually called the health department, and they actually know law that says you can't put food in people's containers. There are laws that say, you know, you can't, if people get sick, you could be liable. So I think that's what they're worried about.
Oh.
Now, I noticed that that you're not using, you no longer buy laundry detergent.
Well, it's there is one brand of laundry detergent that doesn't come with any plastic. Even the powder detergents that come in a cardboard box usually have a plastic scoop inside. Mm. But EcoVert has a recycled cardboard scoop inside. So we use that in the pinch, but mostly we use soap nuts. There's a company called Laundry Tree, which I was actually helpful to them, getting them to switch from plastic bag, putting their soap nuts in a plastic bag, to creating a recycled paper bag that has a biodegradable, actually a compostable lining. It's a small business. It's a really great company. I love to support small businesses like that. Mm-hmm. And the soap nuts, it's just one ingredient. It's a special nut that has an ingredient called saponin. I'm not sure if that's how you say it, or saponin. And it works just like a detergent. You just put the soap nuts in a bag and stick them in your washer if you're using warm water. And if you use cold water like we do, then you actually make sort of a tea out of the soap nuts. And that takes kind of all day. You know, you boil the water, you put the soap nuts in, you just let them sit there overnight. And then it's like a liquid laundry detergent, which works really well.
Yeah, we use them from Naturally, and they ship to us in a muslin bag, like the whole big package of them, so there's no plastic involved there.
Yeah, because they're wrapped in paper on top of that. But they say to put them in the hot water for 3 minutes and then just pour the hot water with the soap nuts into the cold water wash.
Yeah.
Huh. I hadn't heard that.
It seems to work very well. I mean, you know, our clothes smell fine. They don't smell like chemicals.
Yeah.
Well, that's the point.
Here's the thing. I found clothes that we've been using soap nuts for about 6 months, maybe longer now. And I found clothes that I hadn't worn in a very long time. I tried to put on a T-shirt. I had to take it off because of the smell. We don't even use dryer sheets. It's just, to go back to that stuff would just appall me. And I'm no hippie. I'm no hippie. I'm a meat eating kind of guy. But I can't wear clothes that have been washed in laundry soap that have been scented for my pleasure.
No, it's not a natural smell, and a lot of those scents have phthalates in them, which is just really toxic for various reasons. And I'm finding that I'm becoming much more sensitive to synthetic fragrances, you know, when I'm around people that are wearing that stuff. And just the other day, my husband was using baby powder in the morning. He's a runner, and so he has to use that for, you know, the reason that runners do. And I almost died. I was like, oh, my God, the smell. I was still in bed. I had to get under the covers.
Oh, my gosh.
The smell dissipated. It was terrible.
Couldn't he use, like, cornstarch or something like that?
Yeah. I looked up an alternative online, and you can use cornstarch.
There you go.
And somebody else online said potato starch, but, you know, we already have cornstarch.
Cornstarch. I used cornstarch when I was in Afghanistan and Iraq, and let me tell you something. Ask for it by name, cornstarch.
Yeah, that baby powder is horrific. I've never been able to take the smell of baby powder. And so here you are putting these chemicals directly on your baby, but you're also, you know, it always comes in a plastic container.
Exactly. And then the other thing, you just reminded me that I absolutely love, and I would still do this even if I wasn't concerned about plastic, is I switched to baking soda for deodorant instead of, you know, deodorant that comes in a plastic container. And it works better than any store-bought deodorant I have ever used in my life. Like, I have no odor at all.
Us
and
too.
And it even lasts for a couple of days, like if I, you know,
forget
haven't
the day.
really exercised one.
No. Or if you forget one day, you notice you don't smell the next day anyway.
I don't smell the next day. That's right.
We started.
It's really, I mean, you know, people worry about that. And actually, when I first started using it, I put a little bit of essential oil in with it because I just didn't believe it would work by itself. And it totally does. You don't need to add anything to it. Some people cut it with cornstarch because they find the baking soda to be too strong. And that's fine, too. But I just use it straight.
Yes, we do, too. And I think that's actually the thing that made me contact you, as I saw that you were talking about that. And I went, oh, me too. We do that, too. And it, you know, you're saving, because you can't take a, like a deodorant package and just throw it in the recycling, because it's got several different kinds of plastic in it. So the whole thing itself isn't really recyclable. This comes in a cardboard box, and it's so inexpensive. And Johnny swears by it, plus he uses it for his shampoo. Well, we both do.
Yeah, I use I use baking soda for shampoo. I use it for my deodorant, and I also use it for my antacid.
You know, I don't use it for antacid just because it's so high in sodium, and I'm a little bit concerned about that. But it does work really great for antacids. Mm-hmm. I know that. My dad used to take that for years. And the other thing about baking soda, I forgot. It'll come to me.
Well, we put a little bit in our dish soap.
Oh, I know. I was going to explain to the audience about washing hair with baking soda because you don't put the baking soda directly on your hair. Well, maybe you do, but I dilute it. It's one tablespoon of baking soda per one cup of water. That's what works for us. And then we use an apple cider vinegar rinse, and that's the same thing, one tablespoon of apple cider vinegar to one cup of water. And I put a little bit of essential oil in there, which, you know, cuts the smell of the apple cider vinegar and doesn't make you smell so much like a salad. But it works great.
Yeah, that'll actually condition your hair very nicely for people with long hair. We both have short hair at present, so I'm fine with just the baking soda. But I feel so good that I'm not buying these plastic containers. I swear, I go through the coupons in the paper on Sundays, and I'm like, nope, don't buy that anymore. Nope, don't buy that anymore. Nope, not going to use that.
You know, there are some surprising things that are made out of plastic that people don't realize. You know, like sponges, most of those are synthetic plastic. And so there are all kinds of things that you can use instead. And one of the things that I love is called Spoy Cloths, S-K-O-Y.
Yes.
And they are compostable, and they work really well.
Yes, we've actually had the ladies from Skoy here on the show. We love them. We know them personally.
Oh, that's cool. So you're not learning anything new from me, are you?
Our listeners are.
Our listeners are. This is why I've been letting Johnny ask some of the questions, because you and I are like, you know, the same person. So he's coming up
with
things.
That's really cool. You know, the other thing that I've started doing is washing my dishes with baking soda. And I think that works really well. I started using a soap bar to wash the dishes, and they never felt completely clean. But now I just sprinkle baking soda on them and wash them with a Skoy cloth, or if they're really baked on, I'll use a copper scrubber. And it works fantastically. And baking soda has some antimicrobial properties, so that's just great.
So as far in... I notice on your site that you say don't chew gum, because gum actually has plastic in it.
I know. You know what? I was just going to mention that. Most gum these days is made from plastic. And even Glee gum, which they say is made from natural chicle, which is a rubber from a tree, it's not 100%. It's got some... I called the company and found out. It's got that, but it also has plastic in it. So... That's kind of weird, isn't it?
That is very weird.
I am never chewing gum again.
But what's a person to do instead? I mean, I have a lot of dental work. So.
Cud?
Yeah, cud.
There's always cud.
I don't think gum is good for us anyway. I mean, my dentist doesn't like it.
That's
so.
True. But say you want
to...
Say you want to have fresh breath. I mean, do you pop a mint? Mints have the plastic wrapping around them, too. I mean, or, you know, peppermint oil. What do you do?
I just make sure that my hygiene is really good and that I'm eating a healthy diet, and I don't think I need breath mints. And, you know, a lot of those breath mints have sugar in them. Like, you know, people around here go around with those tins of,
Altoids.
Mm-hmm. And those are full of sugar, and sugar is what makes your breath bad.
Huh.
I mean, there are plenty of mints that don't have sugar in them, but I just don't use them. That was another thing I had to give up.
I noticed in your blog also, that you go to the farmer's market quite regularly, but if something's not locally grown, you'll reject that too. Are you finding that very difficult, or it's just one more step in the process?
Well, it's one more step in the process, and for us here, we're very lucky because we live in California, and so we have year-round farmer's markets. And, you know, there are people in other parts of the country that don't have access to that because they have actual seasons. And so if they want to get fresh fruit during the winter, that makes it harder. But here, you know, I feel like we need to just make use of all the resources that we have. And so we have our farmers markets. We have several farmers markets during the week. And we go and we take our own bags. And, you know, one thing that was a little disturbing to me at the last farmers market was that somebody had strawberries. And I said, where did these strawberries come from? Because it's, you know, February. And they had come from Southern California. And I thought, wow, I didn't know they were allowed to bring things so far to our farmers market. So I didn't buy them. But I wonder how many people would even know that, because we all just assume that everything at the farmers market is fairly local,
yeah,
you know?
That is an assumption you make about the farmers market. You had posted an article, and I want to talk about this too, because this is very important. Fruit juice. And people just, these are other things. You can buy fruit juice in glass bottles, and that's much better, but a lot of it comes in plastic. And you had brought up a point about that this past week. You want to talk a little bit about that?
Sure. Well, there was a study that was just released from the University of Copenhagen, and there's a press release about it from the Royal Society of Chemistry, which is an EU organization. And they tested 42 different juices across 16 different brands, and they found levels of a metal called antimony up to a factor of 2.7 above their standards for drinking water. And they speculate that because of the acid in the juices, it's causing this chemical to leach more. And these bottles are made from number one plastic. So if you see a number one in the chasing arrow symbol at the bottom, that's what we're talking about. It's also known as PET. Mm-hmm. And antimony is used in making PET, and it can leach out. And there's some question about whether antimony causes cancer or what it does to the body long term, because it's not something that is useful to the body. And then the other thing that one of my friends brought up is, well, a lot of sodas are, all sodas pretty much are packaged in PET, and those are going to be even more acidic. So how much of the antimony is leaching into our sodas?
Well, soda's so bad for you to begin with anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But go ahead.
I never was a real soda drinker, but I did like sparkling water. So that was another thing that I did, was to purchase a soda maker so that when I want sparkling water, I can make it myself from my own tap water.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a cool product. I know a lot of people who just love that, and it gets rid of so much plastic in your life.
Yeah.
We were watching something last night, and a commercial came on about it was St. Jude's Children's Hospital. And uh-huh. We're just watching that, and I just turned to Johnny and I said, kids shouldn't have this much cancer. And it's not coincidence that we're just upping our cancer rates so much in our children, because we've increased our use of all this plastic over the past, 20 years, would you say?
Right.
Easily, yes.
There's so much more plastic than when I was a kid. And so I'm 45, so I grew up in the 70s. And, yeah, we had plastic, but not nearly as much of the throwaway plastic as we do now. And nobody drank. I mean, bottled water didn't even exist back then when I was growing up.
We drank from the hose.
And if you wanted Jell-O, we totally did. Of course, it was a big old rubber nasty hose, but who cares now?
Delicious.
If you wanted pudding,
I think there are problems with drinking from the.
Yeah, there really are. But we
especially at the gas station. Don't drink from that one.
Remember that hot rubber taste that you first got? Yeah, that probably wasn't good.
That's
for us.
Why you always let the stupid kid go first.
No, you let the dog drink first.
And now Timmy has cancer. Oh, well.
When we were growing up, because I'm roughly your age, but when we wanted pudding or Jell-O, we made it.
Right, exactly.
And it came in a little paper box.
We made our own processed foods. We didn't buy we made our own processed foods. That's how hardcore we
That's
were.
That's true.
We didn't buy individual cups of this stuff, you know?
No. Although, you know, I do remember when Hunt's Snack Pack came out, and my mother was thrilled about that because she could just throw them into our lunch boxes. And that came in a can. And cans are a real problem, too, as I'm sure you and your audience know, because of the plastic lining inside of the can that contains BPA. So that's another thing. We don't eat anything out of cans anymore, except for every once in a while we'll eat Eden baked beans, or not baked beans, just any kind of Eden beans, because they're supposedly in cans that don't contain BPA, although there's actually some question about that.
Yeah, I've been thinking about canned products, too. I used to think that was superior to buying anything like frozen in plastic or something like that, but that's another catch. The best thing to do is to do what you do, buy in bulk. Take your own packages. You can even get baking soda in bulk, you know, dried beans. Now, have you found that the argument against your way of life is that people can't give up the convenience or the probably the speed of what they're used to doing? Is that one of the bigger arguments you hear against what you're doing?
I do hear that, and I hear that it's unrealistic to expect that people will. And I think that that's a really valid point, but and I'm not out here preaching to people and telling everyone that they have to be as extreme as I am, but what I am trying to do is be an example and to show people what's possible and to ask people to look at their lives and decide what things they can give up right now. Just start where they are. And the reason for that, I don't think that some of us out here doing making these changes is going to, in and of itself, change the world, because I feel like we need legislation. We need limits put on some of these companies that are putting this stuff out. But when individuals start making changes in their own lives, that's when they have an investment in the outcome. That's when they, and that's also when they see the limits to personal change. And they, you know, they bump up against a wall and they go, oh, I can't get that plastic out of my life. Well, what am I going to do about it? Am I going to write to the company? Am I going to start a campaign? That was like, that was what happened to me when I was using a Brita water filter and I discovered that my Brita filter couldn't be recycled. And then I found out that they were being recycled in Europe. So we started a whole campaign to get Clorox, which is the company that owns Brita here, to take back and recycle their Brita water filters. And they actually found a way to do it. And that campaign didn't even take a year.
Awesome.
And it was pretty amazing.
That is very awesome. It's, we have to start demanding these things or companies aren't going to change. It's true. They do a lot of different things in Europe that it's very easy to do here. However, they don't find it cost effective unless we, the consumers, start to demand that kind of thing.
That's right. And so one of the things that the company argued was that they had done focus groups and they had asked people, would you be willing to pay a little bit more for these filters if they were recyclable? And they said in their focus groups they found out that consumers wouldn't be. And so the whole idea of this campaign was not to demonize the company, but just to demonstrate to them how many people there were out here that wanted that and how many of their customers who were actually fans of their product wanted them to take it a step further.
Exactly. A lot of these companies that have products such as like a Brita water filter, you're dealing with a greener individual, and yeah, they are willing to take that extra step to make sure that it's going all the way down the line. What other kind of... So you're the extreme. We realize that. We know that. What do you suggest to people? You know, they've done the whole plastic bags. They've done that. And they want to do a little bit more. But they can't be as extreme as you. What's the easiest next step other than those obvious ones like the plastic bottles and the plastic bags? Where to go from there?
Well, I think after that, it's up to the individual because everybody's different. And what's easy for one person is not easy for someone else. And everyone has different habits and different things that they like. And so one of the things that I'd love people to do is just for a week or more, but a minimum of a week, collect your plastic in a bag and then at the end of the week, look at it. And ask yourself, what things am I using that I actually could give up or find a plastic-free alternative for? And on my website, if you click on the menu item called Plastic Free Guide, it's a list of all the changes that I've made so far. And you could just go through that list and figure out what changes you would be willing to make as well. And then, you know, once those things become a habit, then you can say, okay, what's the next thing I'm willing to give up? What's the next thing? But, you know, like I said, I'm very hesitant to say, oh, do this because it's easy, because maybe it's not for somebody else.
Very true. Very true. And see, we're not telling people that they have to change their entire lives and, you know, do, you know.
Just make little changes.
Yeah, just make little changes, and then they become easier and easier as you move along, and that's what I've always been trying to encourage for people. make the changes you can, and then the next ones will fall into place.
I think one of the things, one of the other things about it is that it forces people to be mindful. You know, it forces you, when you make purchases, to think about, okay, what is this made out of? Where did it come from? How was it made? And then what's going to happen to it at the end of its life? And the more you really consider the full life cycle of a product, the more that's going to affect your purchasing decisions in the first place. And so I think that that mindfulness, instead of just unconsciously buying and not really think about it, is something that we need more of.
Especially in this economy. I think it's only a good thing in this particular economy. We need to deal more with how we are in our homes, you know, spend more time with the kids mm-hmm. instead of running around doing all kinds of stuff, and get them involved. I think that would be a great project with children, is to see how much plastic that you're collecting and seeing how you can beat that and set mm-hmm. little goals. That's a beautiful thing for children, and it's very important for children because they are the ones that are inheriting this earth that is just covered with plastic.
That's right. And, you know, speaking of the economy, I've saved a ton of money doing this. You know, some things are a bigger investment up front, like buying a stainless steel bottle. But when you consider all the money that you're saving on all those plastic bottles of water, it really adds up. Mm-hmm. And convenience foods are really expensive when you think about... And eating out, of course, you know, fast food and stuff like that, it's a lot more expensive than eating at home or making your own food.
Exactly. That and detergent is very expensive. As we mentioned, deodorant. Mm-hmm. Deodorant is crazy expensive. $7.
And contains, mm-hmm. contains aluminum. Why don't you go ahead and rub aluminum on your skin, folks?
Just aluminum, to mention just one of the chemicals in there. Shampoo is very expensive. You and I have been able to replace all these things and saved a lot of money at the same time. And we smell fine.
And we're not hippies.
Yeah.
We're not hippies.
Yeah, I'm not either. Yeah. I'm an accountant.
I'm just saying you can do this without being, and I'm using air quotes here, a granola cruncher, which, by the way, granola contains a lot of fat, people.
and sugar.
We just got about 2 minutes left, 2.5 minutes left here. Are you struggling with now? The biggest hurdle you have to remove a certain piece of plastic out of your life that you can't quite get rid of yet.
Well, like I said, the bottle caps, prescription bottles, because there are one or two prescriptions that I take on a regular basis, and unfortunately, in the state of California, they can't be refilled, which doesn't make sense. You know, like, why can't I take my prescription for X and get it refilled with X all over again? But I can't. So that's another one. And then we make our own cat food in order to save all the packaging and also to have control over the ingredients that actually go into it. And one of the things that we have to use in making that is a powder supplement to make sure they get all the vitamins and minerals that they need. And so that comes in a plastic bottle, but it's way less plastic than all the packaging from store-bought cat food. So, you know, there are just little things like that. And like I said, sometimes the packaging that gets shipped to me. But really, there's not much left. Not much else at all.
You got to put that recipe up for making cat food. We're very interested. So
If you go to the search box on my website and type in cat food, or if you look at the categories on the sidebar, it's one called pet care, I think, you'll find it.
Okay, cool. Goals for this year?
What's that?
Goals for this year?
Oh, goals for this year. Well, just to get the plastic down even more and to write a book. I'm working on a book based on my blog, and... I'm hoping that's really the number one thing that I'm focusing on this year. And then after that, I don't know. The sky's the limit.
Cool. Very cool. Well, I'm glad you were finally able to call in and join us. Actually, our time is up. I promised you that would go by fast. Again, we've had on Beth Terry from FakePlasticFish.com. Check her out. Use some of her suggestions and improve on your own life. And thank you for joining us, Beth.
Thanks so much for having me.
Sure thing. Next week, don't ask me who I have next week because it's either Michelle or Kevin.
Oh, you don't know yet?
Okay. No, it's booked. I just don't know.
actually, next week is Michelle Greencoach.
Yes.
Is Michelle Greencoach. Whether it is or not, I have no idea, but it sounds better that we actually know who's on the show next week, people.
I hope you found out how to improve your life, go less plasticky in your own life, and see what you can do this week. Set some goals. And don't forget to listen to the Damage Report Monday through Friday.
2 to 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time right here on LA Talk Radio. Fall in love with the First Amendment all over again before it's illegal.
Have a good week, folks.
We're out of here.
You're listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio.